God bless you guys. The men are, I think, still across the street finishing up their encounter weekend. It's been fire. It's been so awesome. The men are getting encountered by the Lord in a real way, set free from long-standing areas of shame and hurt and fear and sin. It's amazing. You know, when the encounter is done and done well with hearts coming hungry and open, it just never gets old. You know, hearts coming into the light, hearts encountering the cross, experiencing forgiveness. It's just beautiful, right? It's always amazing to me. And it's amazing. It's amazing how people come in weighed down. We have some of the guys were like, this is the most radical and powerful spiritual experience I've ever had in my Christian life. It's awesome. God is meeting his people. There's such a great sense of camaraderie and unity and joy, too. It's exciting. Amen. Keep your eyes peeled for the next one. Ladies, I'm sorry that yours was postponed. And keep your eyes peeled. You know, the men, it was only, you know, we have a problem as us Americans are here. And we tend to wait last minute to register for things. It doesn't work really well when you're trying to prepare. You know, I put that out with a group of very mixed people and some Africans in the room. I said, is that the way for you guys culturally? They're like, no, we register like a year in advance and make detailed preparations. I said, really? I said, man, we got a lot to learn. You know, we got a lot to learn. So I think, you know, the men, we had very little registered and we had to work hard to make calls and reach out to people to get the 15 men that chose to show up. And those that chose to show up that really became almost down to the wire were met by God. It takes a family and it takes teamwork for the dream to work. You know what I mean? We got to work together to bring us to the table, to bring us to Christ, to bring us to the next place of breakthrough. Thank God for the friends of that paraplegic where his friends carried him all this way and then dug a hole in a roof and lowered him down to Jesus, right? It took friends contending for someone else's breakthrough. And that's what it takes for us as a family to contend for each other's breakthrough. Amen? You don't seem excited enough about that. Amen. Some of you are like, yeah, I don't want people to bother me. I just want to do my own thing. Leave me alone. Yeah, you need it all the more. You need people up in your business all the more. Let's pray for a moment and then we'll jump in. Okay? Father, we thank you for your heart. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your leadership. We say you are Lord of all. Amen. You are King of the universe. You inhabit eternity, and yet you are God with us. God who is present right now, walking among us, dwelling among your people. Be honored today. Be glorified in the church. I pray, oh God, that our hearts and minds would be brought up into the knowledge of God, brought into a greater awareness of your greatness, of your beauty, of your wisdom, of your counsel, of your plan, of your ways. Oh, may we taste and see of your goodness today. May we drink of your wisdom and become wise, that we might walk before you in humility and grace, that we might grow in respect to salvation, that we might partner with you in the plans and purposes of God. Help us walk into the unity of the Spirit and remain and abide in the bond of peace through love. Take our minds today and open them, Holy Spirit. Open our hearts today to perceive and receive your word. It saves and nourishes the soul. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to title today's message, Is Christ Divided? Is Christ divided? Of course, the answer is no, right? The Lord is one. The Lord is one. And yet part of the mystery of our faith in eternity, God has always existed as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And yet he is one. That's amazing. That's something we should forever behold and be filled with amazement in. And then understanding today the power and mystery of the gospel of who Christ is, who he was, what he revealed, what he embodied, who he is still today in the earth. The scriptures say that the body of Christ, the church of the living God, the people of God, the family of God, it says we are his body, the fullness of him in the earth. Christ still exists in the flesh, in this life, on this earth, through his church. Amen. This is a profound mystery. This is something supernatural. You and I, if you have hoped in Jesus Christ, you are not a mere mortal. If you have been born from above, you are not like every other Joe Schmo or Sally, as Sean says, teardrop or whatever, Sally gumdrop, out there. You are altogether a new creature, a new creation, a new humanity, a redeemed society of people that individually and collectively have been plucked out of darkness, brought in the kingdom of the Son of his love as a people living underneath God's government and reality meant to express his goodness and nature and ways in the earth. We are not just like every other people. There is a distinction between those that dwell in light and those who dwell in darkness. Those who live by the truth and those who do not. We are the people of God. The church is of him. We have been united to him. The body of Christ is not meant to be divided either. Is Christ divided? Should the church be divided? No, and we have a responsibility as God's people to rightly discern the body of Christ. To rightly discern Christ who dwells in his body and his people. And when we fail to discern the body of Christ, we hurt ourselves. We rob ourselves. We dismember ourselves. We handicap ourselves from recognizing Christ who is among us, God who is with us, expressing himself through the multiplicity of his people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, when he's talking about the gathering of the people of God, he says, when you fail to discern the body, some of you literally, because you've not partaken of the table of the Lord in a worthy manner, because you have not recognized and honored each other as literally part of me, you've practiced things like partiality, you've criticized each other, you've not loved and preferred each other, you've acted selfishly rather than in the pattern of Christ who laid down his life saying you should do the same for one another, love just like I loved. When you don't recognize that, it says some of you have become blind, sick, weak. Some of you have even died, come spiritually dull. When we fail to discern the body and relate to one another and the people of God that look different than you, sound different than you, smell different than you, worship different than you, have some different practices that are different than you. When you judge them, criticize them, and live by your biases and comfortability, you only hurt yourself and do an injustice to the church. We must discern the body because within that unity and honor and right relationship with each other, do we experience God? Is God revealed? And are we able to fulfill his purposes in the earth and let alone grow up into maturity in him? We need to discern the body. I want to read a few big scriptures with you. You can open your Bible or you can read along. Bella, if you could pop those up for me. I'm going to read some good few little portions with you to set the context of some things I want to share with you today. And there's so many scriptures that we can bring. We're going to start with John 17, verses 20 through 23. This is Jesus' high priestly prayer. And let me tell you something. God is going to answer this prayer in this age before he comes back again.
Amen.
This is supernatural and profound and hinged upon the willingness and obedience of his people. Amen. To submit to his lordship and to do things his way opposed to our way. Do you hear me? This is important because we have a part to play. This just won't magically happen. It takes the surrender, the faith, and obedience of the church. Come on, say, he's talking to me. Look at your neighbor, say, he's talking to you. You can do it. And one more time, he's talking to me. Yeah. So let's read this. This is Jesus, man. Starting verse 20, says, my prayer is not for them alone. Jesus is not praying just for his immediate 12 apostles and disciples, or the 72 or the 120 with him. That he's praying for them, but not them alone. He's praying for you. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Oh. Let's read another scripture. Go to Ephesians 4. Starting in verse 1. For time's sake, we're going to read verses 1 through 4, 6 and 7, 9 through 13 and 16. She'll put it up here for you. This is Paul again speaking to the church in Ephesus, a collection of churches, a church in a city, not just one local congregation, but the church in a city. Important to understand, by the way. And he's revealing part of God's mysterious plan for his church, his body, his people, so that through that church, the manifold wisdom of God could be expressed to the powers of the air and to the watching world. This was God's eternal purpose in Christ, was to unite humanity and reveal Christ. Oh, it's amazing where God restored his original design from the beginning in the garden. Amazing. This is amazing. So Paul is unfolding this mystery and saying, this is how this thing is meant to work, how you're meant to operate together. And he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. What does "as he ascended" mean, except that he also descended to the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Whew. And we'll just do one more. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, speaking about the nature of the church and redemption, says, in him, in Christ, the whole building, the church, is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. There's so many more scriptures that we can speak to about this reality and priority of God to have a united church that is rightly fitted together in love and in truth to express his glory, his nature, and his purposes, and a community that is fit together and gifted in a way that it would minister and serve each other as an interrelated, organic, living system that strengthens, heals, nourishes, equips, builds itself up in love unto maturity and fullness in God to the very stature of Christ himself. We're meant to look just like him. That's amazing. You're meant to look just like him, and we together and together and only together can we fully express him. This is an important truth we need to understand, that we collectively, not mere individuals, collectively are one people, one body united in Christ. And unity in the body of Christ is not uniformity. It is not conformity to one another's preferences, but it's about transformation into God's very nature. Transformation into his glory, his likeness, his image. And let me tell you something, God's glory, God's nature, his wisdom, his power, his beauty is too vast, too magnificent, too wonderful, too dynamic, too diverse to be expressed in any single person, tradition, culture. None of it can contain or embody the fullness of Christ. But together, we can embody the one new man, Christ Jesus, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily, as the scriptures say. This is important to understand. And this is across ethnicity, across cultures, across circumstances, experiences, from the persecuted church to the prosperous church, all together, black, white, Asian, Latino, male, female, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, all together, Christ is in all and over all. And together, we can reflect the multifaceted beauty of Jesus Christ in the earth. And that's what you and I should be living for, his glory. His glory, his purpose, his name. We should be jealous. He should be jealous for his glory and fame. That's what you should be living for. Anything else is idolatry. It must be subservient. Every other ambition must be put aside that we can do what he desires, do what he pleases. I want to look at the Corinthian complex, the Church of Corinth. There's some key things here that are important for us here and for the body of Christ at large. God is moving in the earth. There's a global movement of the Spirit of God uniting his people in a way that we have not seen. God is bringing his church to greater places of maturity globally, and it affects us right here, right now, in your heart, in your home, in this local church, and the church in this region, and the church in New England. God is uniting his people in the spirit of John 17, oneness and unity, that we could truly grow up in Christ and reveal his glory and do the works that make him beautiful. That we can impact the earth, affect culture and society together. No one church, no one ministry can do it. Are you with me? Amen. Now, again, we often read the scriptures through an individualistic lens. I hope, hopefully over the years, those of you that have been part of First Principles in our community, we've approached the scriptures, we've learned to do biblical theology and understand the author's intention. Hopefully we have grown in understanding how to read the scriptures, but many still read and interpret things through an individualistic lens, or just one local church lens. This is not the reality of the majority of the letters written in the New Testament. They're written to a church in a region. Amen. Recognized as the church, the people of God. And then he may address specific churches that meet in so-and-so's house. Right? We recognize local churches, but we also need to recognize the church and its diverse expression, because we're one. The Lord is not divided. His body is not divided. We act as though it is. We tolerate such divisions and schisms and sometimes contribute to the problem with our perspectives, our attitudes, our words, our behaviors. and are choosing to stay in our own camp and our own world rather than come to the table with those that are different than ourselves. But God is inviting us into something greater and bigger, rooted in the glory of God. So the Corinthian church, we need to understand that God was speaking to a church in a region. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. It says, to the church of God in Corinth. So it was a big city. To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Do you see Paul right out the gate? He's addressing specific issues in that church, but he's also addressing a church in a region and calling them to understand this. This letter circulated from one local church to another local church to another local church. We need to understand this. We need to see this. Otherwise, we won't have value for the body. 1 Corinthians, and the same thing in chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is saying, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. This is a high calling, but nonetheless, the invitation of God for his people to be one as he is one in the midst of diversity. This is Christianity, our faith, the truth of what the gospel brings is many different people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to be united in one family where there can be peace and harmony and love, which gives honor and preference to all our different dynamics and gifts and abilities and experiences and perspectives and roles. God's heart always is for a united church in a local church, but also a church in a region. Remember, as we saw in Ephesians 4, the whole church, the body of Christ, God, we are going to a place where we are united in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's going to happen. We are so sometimes disillusioned by our experience, but it doesn't change the truth. And it doesn't change what we're being invited to actually be part of the solution to. Right? This is important to understand. The Corinthian church had a problem here, and we got to understand that when we've been talking about rest, we've been talking about the pursuit of God doing a perfect work in us, completing us, as we've been talking about for weeks, for months now, the pursuit of God in the pursuit of maturity, perfection, completion, as a local church and as a church in a region and a church that is connected globally, really, is going to be found through deeper and more meaningful relationships and connections with each other. Part of the season of rest is about relational alignment, about learning to love each other and not criticize each other, learning to understand each other, learning to come to the table and get clarity where there is no clarity. Connect from the heart level. We have to work to preserve the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. That peace is found in relationship with each other. Not presumptions and assumptions in isolation, but coming face to face with each other, believing the best, seeing through the eyes of love and redemption and mercy and forgiveness, seeking to understand than just trying to be understood, being offended and staying in my own camp. We have to learn to go deeper with each other. Do you hear me? We in this place, in this room, in the Crossing Life Church are meant to be one as the Lord is one. Amen. That takes work in the grace of God that we can enter into the rest of the work of God. All his works are finished. But we have to strive to enter into that rest. God's not opposed to effort. It takes work to have hard conversations, honest conversations. It takes work to ask questions and be curious about each other's lives. It takes work to understand each other's differences. It takes work to die to yourself and stop pointing the finger. Are you with me? It takes work. And we have to do that not only locally, but also in the region with other churches that are different than you, with different expressions, different cultures. We can't see things through your own lens alone. This is a human's problem, is we only see things from our own frame of reference. It takes intentionality and growth to step out of ourselves and practice something called empathy, where I learn to see the world through someone else's eyes. I learn to suffer with their suffering. I learn to weep with those who weep. I learn to see the world through their pain, their perspective, and have understanding. That's how relationship and connection and love happens, and how we can walk in harmony, which is not uniformity. It's called relationship that honors each other in love and covenant. The problem with the Corinthian church was this. They were plagued with carnality, human rationality. They still acted like mere humans. Paul rebuked them from acting like mere men. He says, what are you doing? You guys are still boasting in human beings, saying, I'm of Paul. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. I follow Christ. There were divisions among them that disqualified them from the deeper wisdom that God wanted to impart to them that would actually bring them to maturity. If they couldn't do the first things God showed them, why would God give them more? We want maturity. We want to grow, right? Are we doing the first things he's asked us? We can't be asking God for more when we have not obeyed the first thing. To love each other as he called us to love, as he loved. But these guys were boasting in people being divided because they're like, well, I like the way this guy teaches. I like his interpretation of scripture. Does this sound familiar today? We all can fall into the boasting of our denominations, our churches, our traditions, our ethnic identities, our economic status, and miss the bigger picture and plan of God. Is Christ divided? No. Paul goes on to say, what are all these people? They're nothing. Did Paul die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Was he crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Are you baptized in the name of the crossing? No. You're baptized into the body of Christ. Yeah, found in the life and expression of the local church. But Christ is all. Growth comes from him. We honor the servants of God. They'll get their reward from the Lord, but they're nothing. They bring a peace to the table. But all's to be honored. We need to understand this. There's truth in our oneness. We are one body made up of many members, animated by one spirit and one Lord that is adorned through diverse manifestations. This is amazing. Our unique gifts, our unique callings, ministries, roles, cultures, experiences, all these things are not meant to be threats to you. They're not meant to be sources of divisions to you. They're meant to be treasures. Our differences are a gift and a bridge into actual unity. The very thing God gave to us for edification and building up the church, we have allowed to create schisms because it makes us uncomfortable and it looks different than what we do or what we like. The hand just wants to hang out with the hand. But the hand needs the foot. If the whole body was an eye, where would be the sense of smell or taste? The hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. I don't want you. You stink. You're ugly. It's hairy. What? Yes, that's right. We defeat ourselves and hurt ourselves when we fail to honor our diversity and differences. Do you understand? We defeat ourselves. We undermine the plan of God. We want maturity, and yet we resist the plan of God to get there. And the plan of God to get there means you're going to have to die to yourself and not think of yourself so stinking highly and prefer other people as better than yourself. Not thinking of yourself too highly, not thinking of yourself too lowly, but thinking of yourself with sober judgment, but still living within preference to others. That's how God wants to do it. Man, these tensions are meant to teach us humility, love, receptivity. Do you know everything in the kingdom starts with your capacity to receive? You must give, but you must receive. That means you must put your place in a position relationally to receive from others. That's hard for some of us. We like to be in control. We like to be strong. We don't want to look like we have needs. Don't you understand? God made it that way so that you would learn interdependence in a family. Not living in a silo saying, I got this. I don't need you. No, no, no. That's arrogance. That's pride. And it will only breed division. You need what other people think. You need what gifts other people have. When embraced, diversity, and think about at a bigger level, like We have a few Brazilians here, a few Latinos here, but we're pretty white. And that's cool. Y'all are beautiful. But you don't have it all. I need a different flavor than you. My God. You need a different flavor. And it will make you better. Now listen, when we embrace diversity, spending from the beauty of African resilience and Asian perseverance and Latino passion and indigenous wisdom and more. Listen, these things lead to maturity and reveal the true knowledge of God through the fullness of the body of Christ in the earth. The challenge is our diversity tends to divide us and create schisms rather than unity. When we have a part to play to pursue unity, to seek peace, to make every effort to keep that unity, to honor the different gifts and abilities, we fail to discern the body and we slip into judgment and criticism instead of seeing each other as God does, as new creations in Christ. Our various expressions, whether from affluent suburbs to persecuted villages, are meant to serve and build up the body of Christ with equal concern for one another. If one part of the body suffers, the Bible says every part suffers. But if you think it's all about you, you won't even feel it. You will have no empathy. It's called narcissism. You'll be a Christian narcissist who thinks it's all about you, your expression, your tradition, your gifts, your understanding, your world, and you've missed the entire point and probably concocted a God and religion of your own and missed the gospel. Woo! Fuego de Dios. We are meant to serve each other and build each other up. We have to honor. It says when one part is honored, every part should rejoice. You know how many people just struggle with competition and jealousy and comparison? That is the flesh, that is old, that is self, and it must die. We're not meant to compete with each other. We're meant to complement each other and collaborate with each other in the covenant of the Lord. This is beautiful. We're meant to work together, not stay apart. We need to consider and ask ourselves, have you practiced the evils of partiality and prejudice that have only hurt and divided the body? Take it locally. Take it right in this room. But what about with other cultures, other races, other people groups and traditions that you don't know, don't understand, not experienced? In your attitudes, in your words, have you bowed to the spirit of the age through stereotypes? I'm telling you, I hear a lot of foolishness come out of the heart and mouths of believers in jest. And I'm telling you, it hurts you, it hurts the body, and it will never build a bridge of relationship with others that are different than you. We have to grow up in divine intelligence and learn how to love and relate to people that are different. Where we experience and express and practice hospitality. Welcoming each other as God, Christ welcomed us. Oh man, that's good. And what would happen if we would see our differences, our racial, economic, or experiences as God's designed to complete us rather than compete with us? Looks like heaven. Absolutely. There's beauty in diversity. There's beauty in even denominational diversity. Yeah, we say that's not God's plan, but what happens if we could still understand that God has unique expressions through these different convictions of the body of Christ, and if we can be reconciled in relationship, we can honor each other's unique strengths. What happens if, like, the Pentecostal charismatic fire expresses a vibrant emphasis on the Holy Spirit's power and gifts and presence, reminding us that God is alive and moving today through his people? And what about the Baptists that have a deep commitment to scripture and personal faith and church planting and building that anchors us to the word of God as our foundation? What about the Orthodox Catholic community that's rich in tradition and liturgy and sacraments and historical continuity, connecting ancient wells of the faith? What about the Methodists or Wesleyans that are passionate for holiness and social justice? They call us to live out love in very practical ways. Or the Reformed that focus on God's sovereignty and grace, deepening our awe of his eternal purpose and plan, or non-denominational denominations that tend to be more flexible and innovative, encouraging fresh expressions of worship and mission. and creativity. And then we have things like cultural, ethnic strengths. The Africans and the African diaspora, right? The resilience, the joy in worship, teaching us to praise through pain. How to trust God for deliverance. Come on. I love hanging out with my African friends. They know how to party in the Holy Ghost. They know how to dance. We're just in here. My African friends are like, woo! They get on. They shake their hips. They shout. They scream. They dance. They're colorful. Children, kids, teenagers, adults, grandmom, granddad, they are amazing. And they'll stand out in the field in the pouring rain, dancing and singing. Yeah. We got stuff to learn. We need to learn how to celebrate with greater enthusiasm. Don't you realize that cultural expression in Christ will edify you and teach you something of him? They can mentor you in something if you will be humble and learn and get out of your box. The Asians are steadfast. They're community focused. They show us the power of perseverance and collective honor. We lack a culture of honor in the Western church. The white American Anglo church is so lacking in honor. Other cultures understand honor, sometimes to a fault, but nonetheless, we have so much to learn in terms of honor. The Latinos have passionate faith, deep family values. They're warm, they're relational. We've got stuff to learn. The indigenous, they understand harmony with creation, with storytelling. They remind us of God's presence in the earth and the power of oral tradition. First Nations people, Native Americans, these guys, they are connected to the earth. Life is sacred. They're very Jewish or Hebraic in that sense. Everything is holistic and connected. They think in this way, interrelated, holistically, not compartmentalized in boxes, typical Westerners. Everything is spiritual. And then, of course, we have like Western European structures and theology, theological reflection. Every one of these streams, we have to learn to work together, learn from each other. Do you understand? The question is, how can you start learning from others that are different from you? You need to do that in this church, let alone people that are outside this church. How can you start having conversations and intentionally go build bridges with others that are different than you? Let alone generationally. Young people, you probably need to have better conversations with older people. Older people, you need to go come alongside younger people. It is through the diversity of the people of God that we grow to maturity and can do what he's called us to do. We have to learn to receive from one another, honor each other across denominations, ethnicities, economic lines. We can build a more strong, mature, and glorious church that reveals the glory of Christ in the earth if we're willing. If we are willing. It's too easy to tolerate separation and segregation. You know, Sunday mornings tends to be one of the most divided times for the church, especially in America. It's a dang shame. In inner cities, you tend to have more multi-ethnic expressions of the church. And it has a place, right? The arms are the arms, the hands are the hands, the toes are the toes. Like, so I understand. There's a people collect and gather with those that are like-minded, like-hearted, like gifted maybe. But we, as we know, the body's very diverse even in one local church, but there's still a nature collection of like-valued, like-hearted people. But what would happen if we intentionally embrace rhythms of interfacing and coming to the table with others? They're different with themselves. This is what Youth Storm, this ministry was born out of, was uniting the whole body of Christ across these lines. That together we'd pursue holiness and be agents of revival and awakening. To see the kingdom come on the earth, we need each other. We have to love each other and not criticize each other. I don't think I'm going to read this. This is another passage I feel is significant for this season. I'll just put it out to you to read another time. It's in 1 John chapter 4, and it's talking about how love is made complete among us. And the context of how can we say that we love God that we have not seen and yet hate our brother that we do see. It says we lie and we don't practice the truth. We must love each other. And I'm telling you, there is great divides in the church that we have tolerated, and we must pursue reconciliation and love as he loves. Love those that are different than you. Honor those that are different than you, not only in this house and in your home, but in the church in a region, between congregations, between ethnic groups. This is important to our maturity, to our growth, to our next level. And collectively, as the church in New England, it's important for us to accomplish the mission he wants us to do here and now in our generation. And without it, we will be diminished in the glory he wants to entrust upon a house of glory that reveals his splendor. Do you hear me? There takes work in this. We must learn to love. And in a season of rest, this is the heart of it all. You know, in a season of rest, we got to understand rest is found in right relationship with God and each other. What creates unrest? What creates schisms, tensions, hardships, fatigue, frustration? Those things have to be bow low through forgiveness and through mercy and through repentance and through reconciliation, the pursuit of peace, right relationship where faith is working through love. Apostle Paul says, nothing matters but faith working through love. This is the purpose of all my instruction, that you love from a pure heart, from a good conscience before God out of a sincere faith. Don't get lost in all the differences and things that you don't like, that are extremities. Look to people, love people as Christ loved people. And you will find rest. Most of your unrest comes because you're so busy judging and criticizing others. You've made yourself judge and you have planks in your own eyes. Rest comes from freedom and right relationship with each other. We cannot claim to love God while despising a part of his body, whether they worship in a cathedral or a mud hut or under the threat of death. Perfect love casts out fear, judgment, and division, which draws us into this unity that Jesus prayed for, that we would be one as the Lord is one. Love binds the affluent to the poor, the free to the persecuted, in mutual service and strength. Oh, how we need each other. We need to lift up our eyes to consider our beyond our own life, our own family, look at our church, and then look beyond that as well. There's a big work going on. And I'm going to bring this to a close. In terms of there's great things happening in the body of Christ in New England. Right now, you guys have heard about the Body United initiative that's happening, where the Crossing Life Church, we get to just host a place of hospitality for the church all over New England and beyond to come be here with us across ethnic groups, denominations. Right now, there's over 70 different churches and ministries and leaders representing different streams that are coming to the table, from Catholic to Methodist to Charismatic, from Africans to Brazilians to Latinos to whites to Messianic congregations. They are coming because we are partnering with God's heart to see a united church walking together in covenantal love to discern together the heart and mind of God for the next chapter of what he wants to do in the earth and in our land. God wants to do a great work, but he must bring us together. We can't work together in collaboration or divine coordination to produce good works or advance the gospel or impact society if we're not connected. First things first, come to the table. Recognize that we're one. Hear from each other. Build a relationship and see what God supernaturally, spontaneously emerges out of that. Because when we connect, things happen. Cool things happen. Think about the meaningful breakthroughs you've had in your life with a meaningful connection with a brother or sister. Let me tell you something. Some of your breakthroughs are going to come from people that look different than you, worship different than you, think different than you. Some of your breakthroughs are not going to be found from people in this church. There's something bigger that we're being invited into. We're part of this. You're part of this, whether you realize it fully yet or not. But what can it look like for a church in a region to work together? You know, for years here, we've hosted different pastors and leaders and churches doing prayer events, worship events, compassion outreach, serving different initiatives in trailer parks and the underprivileged in our area. Where the church comes together, cool things start happening. The world needs to see a united church, not a divided church where you've got 1,000 churches in a neighborhood that don't talk to each other and just criticize each other. How foolish. How that hurts the gospel when we're meant to adorn the gospel through our unity. Through our preferring, through blessing other congregations, working alongside. Just some examples of what's happening right now. Listen, God's unfolding a new wineskin for how the church is to operate in a way that we've not operated before. We need, you know, in this recognition of a local church, a regional church, a global church, there is divine connection. I was just talking to a pastor in Vermont. 3 different churches, all different denominations, are literally working together to create a campus among the 3 different churches to create a preschool to high school discipleship process for all the kids in rural Vermont. Different churches, different denominations, collectively working together in unity to pass on the faith and raise up the next generation. Beautiful, right? That's happening right in Vermont. I can tell you so many other cool initiatives with a church coming together across their differences to honor each other, to discern the heart of God, and to do creative works to bless their communities. Oh, what God wants to do in the earth is so much bigger than us. It takes teamwork to make the dream work, folks. For real. Impact Connecticut is a whole network of churches and ministries and leaders that collaborate together, honoring each other's strengths to pray, to worship, and to serve their city. It's amazing. Thrive Cape Cod is another network fostering spiritual and social renewal. They just had a conference. Well, I think there was 32 different congregations, leaders, different denominations all together, hosting a joint conference, having vital conversations, strengthening, encouraging each other. Rhode Island, this network called Advancing the Gospel Together. I just read their annual report of 2024. It is amazing what the church in that region is doing to bring churches together, to pray, to worship, to do next generation initiatives, and to do good works. It's incredible. They're birthing a regional internship amongst all their different churches where all the different pastors and leaders and gifted ministers are helping serve and sow and train and equip. The church working together, not competing. Say, I'm just going to do my own thing. We're actually going to share resource so that we can grow. So good. This is happening. God is doing this. I just talked to a guy in San Antonio, Texas, who's literally doing like a Body United massive gathering the week after our event in San Antonio. He's going to come up here and join ours. I'm going to go down there and bring a New England delegation to join them. But same thing, bringing churches and ministries together to impact their city in San Antonio. And he has a huge Christian business network collaborating, birthing new initiatives to serve the city. Believers, pastors, and leaders all coming to the table, sharing their desires, their passion, and God spontaneously, people start throwing money at things. Oh, I can do this. Oh, you need a truck? Here's a truck. Oh, you need someone to wrap that truck and put decals on it? I can do that. Here's $1,000 to seed and start that business. You do this. That stuff's happening to serve their city. Cool things happen when the church connects. When the affluence of the West serves the persecuted poor, right? By what every joint supplies, the body grows. We need to be connected for what God wants to do. We need to consider how might other expressions of the church might actually bless you, enhance you, and how you might also serve. In our call to action, we're going to take communion today. But in our call to action, number one, we as the church, I just want to say we need to repent of our divisions. We need to break intellectual, cultural, and economic arrogance. We need to confess where we have judged people, overlooked other parts of the body, whether for their poverty, their persecution, their privilege, the things that you just feel are whacked. We need to learn to consider others better than ourselves. We need to repent of criticism. We need to repent of judging each other in this room. Some of you are judging me right now. You know, I said to a group of pastors in Springfield when we're talking about what does this look like if a church in a region, we need to stop just thinking about tolerating each other and learn to celebrate each other. I will never ask you to be like me. Don't ever ask me to be like you. You need me to be who I am in Christ. And I need who you are in Christ. And if we can humbly serve each other in love and use our freedom in service rather than in selfishness to consume and bite and devour each other, we will all be better. And we will fulfill God's plan. But it takes a humility. It takes a choice. It takes recognizing God's plan for his church. I'm telling you, I feel the grief of God over the divisions. God wants to reconcile a church, unite a bride, unite a people that we would grow up into maturity, that we might know him and reveal his glory in the earth and fulfill the mission of the gospel, penetrating the earth, discipling nations. We need to be a well-rounded, complete people.
I just want to share something because this is part of what he's sharing today. It's instructive for our body. For us needing to move into diversity and recognize what God's doing in our midst. But I wanted to share, as he's sharing that, I want you to understand what God's birthed here and where we've come from. Because we were birthed as Youth Storm and we united. That's uniting Quip New England, right? We're uniting. And we would have meetings and we were birthed in the movement of the revival, and we had a renewal in New England. The very presence of God was in our midst. We grew up for years where revival broke out. I mean, salvations and healings and all of our meetings, kids would fall into trances. And it was super, super powerful. But in saying that, when God shows up in the room, it's very uncomfortable. When you're in a process of unity and you have people from all different streams and bodies, it becomes uncomfortable when you're in the meeting. Because we're afraid of something that doesn't match and look just like us. And this is what I want to talk about, is being brave enough to see that God is bigger than our theologies. He's bigger than our personal beliefs that we hold so much higher than our unity for one another. Secondary doctrines, they can be this or that. I mean, we have our own way of thinking. That's why we're in our church, right? We don't necessarily see exactly, but if it's a secondary doctrine, who cares? Because God loves those secondary doctrine people that aren't like us. God is in those churches. He's in the Methodist. He's in the Presbyterian churches. We know pastors that are full of the Holy Ghost, that are being transformed by God, but we cannot be afraid of allowing them to use their gifts in our midst. And if they say something that's a secondary doctrine that's not in agreement with us, we're big enough to know that God loves them and we don't have to believe exactly like they do. And we really need to, because we've had multiple people that come in gifts, and we're not afraid of the gifts in the body. We come from a place of diversity. We come from unifying all the diversity in New England. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost is moving in a meeting and the power of God, it's really messy. And I'll tell you, we were so afraid in those times. We would allow stuff that was crazy because we were always testing the Spirit, saying, God, is this you? Because I would rather have wildfire than to offend you and have you leave. I would rather have kids on the ground getting delivered by the Spirit of God than to be offended of what it looked like. That offense in our hearts, we hold so deeply to these places when we need to allow the love of God to penetrate us so we can love others and not be afraid of that. And not be afraid if they say something we don't agree with. That's fine. Don't agree with it. God is convicting you. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. We're looking, we're doing author's intent here. But each one of us can live within that context. We can live within our body. We're not afraid to partner with the body of Christ. And I think that's an important thing that we need to understand today, and to let go of those harsh places where we hold our thoughts so high, that we hold our own opinions so high that we can't receive the gifts of the body of Christ that's around us, that looks different than us, that's not like us. and it takes bravery. And I want you to know that we are a people of diversity, born in the very DNA of our spirit, born in a move of God that birthed this whole work that you see here. And we were not afraid to trust God in those meetings. And as a body here as the Crossing, we can't be afraid to trust God and receive the diversity of gifts and the diversity of different denominations and different secondary doctrines in our midst. It doesn't mean that it's gonna change us. It means that we're gonna receive from the good and be blessed. And then we just throw out what we don't like. I mean, when you're dealing with Pentecostals, it gets crazy, right? But we can hold the line. We don't have to be afraid of that. You know, when you have Word of Faith people coming in, you know what you're gonna get. We're not afraid of it though. And sure, we might personally think that there's some excesses, but we're not afraid of the Spirit that's moving in them. And we can receive because it's the same Holy Ghost that's transforming us and bringing us into maturity in Christ and changing us into His likeness so that we can operate in the fullness of Christ in the earth. And it's that unity that He's talking about that's primary today, that we need to come into a place of maturity and not be afraid of what God's doing in the earth and the unity that He's bringing.
Amen. 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 You know, quick story that came to mind was this Baptist pastor that did not like this man named Ronnie Howard Brown. He was offended at him, said, "I don't like his personality. I hate his theology. I think he's an idiot." Basically, that's how he felt towards him, literally. And then his wife got healed under Ronnie Howard Brown's ministry. And then he still was angry and upset. He was bothered that she even went to his meeting. Long story short, he eventually has to go and humble himself and he gets delivered. His life gets changed by receiving from a man that he was offended by. And that's often the bigger picture of what God wants, is that through our unity, we're able to receive the heart and mind and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself through His people. And it will often come in packages that you don't like, because God's after something bigger called humility. Love, preference, you learning to see with the eyes of the Spirit rather than your own lenses of preference. This is important for us here in this family, because this happens in a local church, let alone when you start interacting with other churches, other traditions, other cultures. We have to learn to sit in that space around the table of the Lord. We're going to take communion, but we need to break the pride that causes us to judge and criticize rather than pursue love in conversation. We need to lift up our eyes, amen. And another call to action, I know you guys are still learning about this. I want to invite you to the Body United. This was not all just for promotion. This is promotion for that. I shared today because this is something that is so relevant to the kingdom of God right now and for your faith, your development, and the growth of the church at large. God is doing this in the earth and we have a part right now. But we do have the privilege to host this catalytic summit of the body of Christ coming to the table. And I want to encourage this community, this family, to be a presence and show up there. You don't want to serve and help create space? No problem. Just still come and meet other brothers and sisters. It's going to be so dynamic, so powerful, of people interacting and hearing from each other, learning from each other. I want to encourage you to come and be a presence there. That is a practical call to action as well. But today, I want us to come and recognize that we are one body. Jesus said, when you gather together, do this in remembrance of me. We have to discern the body. That we are one people of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, with every denominational variation in the unity of the faith. We are one. We are one, we are not divided, and yet we are made up of many members. And when we come, we recognize that together, many members make one loaf, one people, one nation. And that Jesus ripped the veil of his flesh to open the way to his presence forever for all of us. And that we can be reconciled to God and each other. His blood was shed that we might have peace and redemption and forgiveness. But this giving of his body and his blood was also an example for you and me of how we are to treat each other. When he says, do this in remembrance of me, we are not just remembering what he did to receive a personal revelation of his love, his mercy and forgiveness for my life, though it is that as well. It is also a receiving and a remembering that, whoa, these people around me have been brought into the same covenant, and I'm living to give up my life for them. I'm going to give my life to my brothers and sisters in the way that my Lord and my God and my teacher and Savior did for me. He has commanded me to also do that with one another. When you come to the table, you are saying, whoa, may I love sacrificially like this, those around me. The one people I've been called to, one family. Amen. Let us come. And if you want to linger, I want to encourage you to partake in remembrance of his sacrifice, his broken body, his shed blood for you, but for the people of God. And I would encourage you, take time to pray with each other. Get with two or three and just bless each other. Pray for each other. Can we do that? Come on, come on. We got two lines. You can come up here. We have these, it was asked that we do these little individual cups. But we all partake of one cup. Amen? So come. You can come right down the middle. Lord, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your shed blood. A new covenant by which we approach God on the basis of grace and on the basis of the cross. On the basis of your love and your mercy. We receive your body. We receive your blood. We receive your healing, your forgiveness. We receive the reconciliation. We receive our sonship, our adoption into the family of God. I want to encourage you to truly get with two or three people and pray. Take communion together. Bless each other. Pray for one another. Give us your heart today, God. Give us your mind today. Cleanse us of every form of judgment and arrogance and criticism that divides us rather than reconciles us and unites us. Unite us in love today. Give us one heart, one mind, one spirit, so that with one voice, oh God, we can honor you and that you can be glorified in the church and through the church in this age and in the ages to come. Oh, release the bond of perfection. Loose the love of God for one another. Help us love each other with the love that you have given us in your Son. Baptize us with the love of God.